Good morning, good morning. Happy Sunday, Christ Church. Everybody doing good? Thank you, thank you. Everybody doing good? All right. Yeah, as the Lord and Xavier said, next Sunday is going to be a blast. Cookout, pickleball tournament. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to winning that, if I'm being honest with you today. but it's going to be a lot of fun and a great opportunity to invite someone. And also want to remind you, our Thursday night services are going to look a little different through the month of June. So we're doing Thursday nights through June, and then we're going on a summer break for July and August. But through June, I'm doing a different series. We're talking about a lot of tough questions. We're going to have some fun times after service. So if you want to check it out, come check it out. I kicked it off this Thursday, and I bored everyone to tears. But this week will be better. but no, it should be cool. But let me pray, and we'll get into the message today. Father, we love you, and I pray that you would just bring us your strength. I pray, Father, that you could help us to enter the right struggles in our life as people and as a church, and help us to avoid the wrong ones. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet us with your strength, with your goodness, and with your wisdom. And I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to take a moment. So, and we're going to look back at where we've been so far this year. And we're also going to look forward to where God has us going. And believe it or not, we are 6 months into this year. Is that crazy to anyone else? It just absolutely flies by. And so we want to just kind of do a little check and say, hey, what have we learned so far this year that God wants to show us that we need to pay attention to? And also, where's he leading us? And how can we be more focused in on that? And when this year started, 2024, is like January or February, Allie and I were kind of looking and we were trying to get ahead and trying to think about where we're going to vacation and get some time away. And we're really motivated to do this because last summer we did a 2-night getaway without the kids. And actually, I thought I died and went to heaven for a minute there. It was so, I love my kids. I'm not saying that, but it was nice. You know what I'm saying? And so we were like, we've got to do that again this year. So we were looking and we just booked the same place as last year. And so, you know, we kind of figured out the dates and we were booking it for July. But this was January or February, right around then when we were doing it. And so, like I booked it last year, you know, my expectation was that I'm going to put a little bit of money down, but then I'm going to pay for it all, the rest of it, in July, because that's how it usually works, right? Maybe not for you. All right, that's fine. That's how it usually works for me. That's how it worked at this place last year. So I went to do that, and I was like, all right, you know, put this little money down, and then July, pay the rest. Well, it was, you pay everything. And I didn't know that until after. You know what I'm saying? And so in my mind, I was like, ooh, that hurt a little bit because I wasn't planning on paying for all of that up front. But there it went, you know? And I guess it's all paid for. And it hurt a little bit at that moment because I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't budgeting to pay it all then. But now we're in June. And next month, we're going away. And it's all paid for. Now it feels pretty good. Yeah, thank you. Hey, thank you for that. First service didn't give me applause. Thank you. Now it feels totally different. It was a little bit painful up front, but now it feels now it feels like a blessing right now. You with me on this? And have you ever noticed life is kind of like that? Like if you do the hard thing up front, then the reward is worth it on the back end. If you pay the bill up front, it's usually better than saying, you know what, I'm gonna put this on the credit card. And then that bill comes in and you're like, why did you do that? It doesn't feel the same way. Amen? And there's a principle to that, that it's better to enter the right struggle, the right challenge early, and to pay the price up front, because it creates a better blessing on the back end. And I want to talk about that today, and we're going to look at the book of Colossians. We're going to look at chapter 2, and this is the great apostle Paul writing to this ancient church in Colossae, and here's what he says. He says this, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. And today we're going to talk all about struggle. Now notice, if you have a Bible, you can just circle or underline this word. But notice that Paul says it's a great struggle. Now it's great in two ways. It's great in the size of the struggle, that it's a big struggle. I don't know if you've ever had big struggles in your life. Probably not. All of our lives are super easy and everything goes the way we want it, right? But in case it doesn't, then maybe you know what Paul's talking about here. He says it's a great struggle. It's big. It's challenging. It's exhausting. It's all these things, but it's also great in another way. It's great in the sense that it's good. It's morally good. It's a good struggle. It's a worthwhile struggle. So it is both challenging, but it's also worth it. Because there's some struggles that are great in the size of bigness, but they're not good. They're not ones that we want in our lives, but this is one that is worth it. Paul's saying, I'm paying up front. I've got this big, it's costing me something. It's hurting my budget, but it's going to be worth it. It's a great struggle, and it's a struggle not just for him, but look at this. It's for you, he says, to this church. For all those at Laodicea, and then look at this, and for all who have not seen me face to face. This is really cool. Paul's saying this struggle that I'm entering, not only is it big, not only is it good, but in it is a blessing for other people. In this struggle is a future that is going to enrich other people's lives, and it's even going to enrich people that I have not met yet. People that I don't know face to face. That I don't know what they look like, I don't know what they sound like, but the struggle is going to bless it. Now, there is struggles to enter that when we enter them in the present, they become a blessing for people we don't even know. And this is a really, really cool thing. And he goes on, he said, I'm in the struggle that their hearts may be encouraged. That's what I'm working towards. Their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I'm absent in body, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. And underline that word, rejoicing. So he's saying, even in the struggle, I see some bright spots. I see God blessing me. I see God working. And in the struggle, you need to see God working because you need that strength to keep going. He says, so I'm thankful for that. And he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, here's the big idea for today that I want you to hear. We create a better future when we enter the right struggle today. Did you hear that? We create a better future when we enter the right struggle today. Paul says, I'm in this great struggle, but it's the right one. And in this struggle, there is a blessing for other people. So today I got 2 points. This is going to be a really short sermon. I don't know why you're laughing at that. But I just got 2 points. I want to talk about the right struggle and the help that we can find in the right struggle. The right struggle and the help in it. So the right struggle. Paul says, I'm in the right struggle. It's a great struggle. It's big, but it's good. And here's what Paul was struggling with. To just put it real simply, Paul was trying to bring the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, to all these different cities in the ancient world. He was trying to go from place to place, different city, different culture, all around the Mediterranean, because that was the ancient world that he knew. And he was trying to go to these places and to connect with people, and then to help those people connect with Jesus Christ. And Paul was going from these places, and he was trying to say, hey, what every human being needs is to know who Jesus is, and to know his work on the cross and his resurrection, and to be connected to it. And Paul says, I'm struggling to do that. And interestingly enough, we have a lot of the story of Paul's life where he was actually doing this. So in the New Testament, we can read a lot about what it was like with when Paul was doing this, and it was challenging. It was difficult. Paul's life, it wasn't easy. It was hard, but he says it was the right kind of difficult, and that was his struggle. And here's what I want you to know today. Fulfilling God's purpose for our life requires struggle. It requires struggle. Now, I think that sometimes, if we're not careful, we can harbor this belief in our heart that says, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, it should be easy and smooth and painless. It should be easy and smooth and painless. Now, I don't know where we got that idea from. Because here's what I can tell you. We did not get that idea from the scriptures. We got maybe Hollywood movies. When we look at the pages of scripture and we read about the men and women that were in pursuit of God, it's struggle after struggle. But again, it's the right struggle. It's the right challenge. And we need to realize that that is part of the journey. And in fact, when we meet struggle, it doesn't necessarily mean we're doing anything wrong. It might mean we're actually on the right track. Paul's saying, I'm struggling. Colossae, I'm struggling to do this, but it's the right one. It's worth it. And it's part of how I fulfill God's calling on my life. I love this quote by Phillips Brooks. It's so powerful to me. He says this, do not pray for easy lives. Say what? That's what most of my prayers are, Lord. Make it all a little easier, amen? He says, don't pray for that. He said, instead, pray to be stronger. Pray to be stronger men. Pray to be stronger women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. He says, then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you yourself shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself, at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. I don't know about you, but that always helps me reframe things in life, that quote right there. Don't pray for easy life. Here's what Phillips Brooks is saying, is that in the challenge, God makes you something more than you are today. When it's not easy, but it's the right challenge, it's the thing God's calling to you, as you go through it and as you open yourself to his riches, to his strength, to his wisdom, it forms you and it forms me into the people that we could not be without that challenge. You with me on this? And it's a tool that God uses to develop and to change and to transform us. And so we don't need to wish it away. Some of us today, believe it or not, we might not need things to be easier. God said, no, you don't need things to be easier. I'm trying to make you more. And maybe we need to start praying a little bit differently. Lord, then give me the endurance. Give me the strength. Give me the wisdom that I need for this right challenge ahead. Now, don't get me wrong. We can have the wrong challenge in life. And the wrong challenge, will be difficult, but not worth it. And we have to be careful not to voluntarily enter the wrong struggles and not to waste our life and our energy struggling in the wrong things. Married people, have you ever picked the wrong fight? Oh, no, not me. Yeah, me either. Just every other day. But have you ever been fighting with your spouse and you're like, you know what? I didn't even need to be here. I didn't need to say that. I didn't need to bring that up. I didn't need to have that attitude. But then you're already there and you're like, but I still do have to win this. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you know what's right to waste your energy on the wrong fight, a fight you didn't even need to have in the first place. And how many times in life are we fighting the wrong fight? We're entering into the wrong struggle. And the Lord's like, you're wasting energy and effort on time, but you need that energy and effort for the right struggle. But you're wasting it on the wrong struggle. That's not moving you forward. And so, don't waste it on the wrong struggle. And can I also say this? Struggling is not failing. Sometimes people will come up to me and they'll say, hey, Chet, I just want you to know our family is not perfect. I just want you to know. And I can tell they're always like, you know, being very vulnerable. You know, it's not perfect. And I always say, yeah, I knew that. Because none of us are. Amen? Church, if you're here today and you think you're the only one struggling, can I just relieve your mind a little bit? You're not. Can we just all be honest? We all have our own different struggles. And I don't know why we get this idea in our minds that somehow we got to come to church like we don't have those. And we sort of have to act like, hey, you know, hope nobody finds out about this. Listen, if you're coming into this place and you don't have struggles, then guess what? You just adopted one. Because now you're around a bunch of messed up and broken people. And you got to struggle to figure that out. So, yeah. So listen, it's a normal part of life. It's a normal part of growth. It's a part of being broken human beings before God. That's why we come here and say, Lord, we can't do this without you. We're struggling. And so I don't know why we get this idea that we have to hide that, or we have to act a different way. Here's what I know. Every one of us, we're carrying our own battle today. There's a struggle that each of us have. And struggling is not failing. Here's what failing is. Failing is quitting. Failing is giving up. Failing is saying the right struggle's not worth it. Failing would be the Apostle Paul saying, hey, church in Colossae, church in Laodicea, this is too much. I'm done. But he doesn't say that. He says, no, I'm entering into the right struggle. Because here's the good news, church. The right struggle leads to rejoicing. The right struggle leads to gratitude. The right struggle, you get to the other end of it, and you have this sense of, Lord, thank you that you helped me to fight the good fight. The wrong struggle, it leads to misery. You just stay in the cycle of brokenness and pain and hurt and emptiness, but the right struggle, it leads to rejoicing. And if you look at these verses carefully, there's this really cool interplay between struggle and rejoicing. And in these verses, before and after, the Apostle Paul is connecting these two ideas together. That in other words, you can't get to that place of rejoicing without first entering struggle. Now, we all want to get to rejoicing, but here's what Paul is showing us. You can't get there without the right struggle. And you're like, well, Lord, I want to skip the struggle. And he's like, I know, all my kids do. Just like many times my kids, they don't want to eat dinner, but it's good for them. They need to. And we don't want the struggle, but it's good for us in God's eternal purpose. and we need to enter it, but it leads to joy. I want you to think about today. Sometimes I have a lot of conversations in my head with myself, multiple versions of myself. But one of the, I like this church. Everybody's like, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm in the right place here. And many times I like to think about having a conversation with my future self. I don't know if you ever think about that. But I like to say, all right, if I'm talking to Chet 6 months, a year, 10 years from now, what would he thank me for? What struggle would he say, I'm glad you entered that today because it has helped so much now? And I try to think that way. I try to think, what would it look like to sit across from my future self and after we told each other how good looking we were and how funny we were, because I think that would have to take some time, you know, and and all that. Yeah, thank you, Bobby. Man of God right there. And after we got through that, just say, what would they say? Or what would my future self say? Man, swing and miss there, brother. I wish you would have. You ever think about, I think it's a really clarifying exercise. You know, just think, we're 6 months into the year. If you could have lunch with your future self at the end of December, and they wanted to thank you for struggles that you entered today, what would those struggles be that they would thank you for? You know, maybe they would say, hey, thank you for eating healthy these last 6 months. Amen? No? No? You're like, my future self would not say that. It would say, enjoy yourself. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. First service didn't go for that one either. But maybe your future self would say, hey, you know, thanks for exercising these last 6 months. Still not, no? Your future self, not into that either. How about this? You got to say yes to this one. Would your future self say, thank you for entering the struggle of carving out time every day for God? You got to agree with that when we're in church. I know it was a struggle, but thank you for doing it because it has made all the difference today. Maybe your future self would say, hey, thanks for making a budget and sticking to it. Thanks for saving some money. Thanks for taking that risk and pursuing that career that's always been on your heart, but you were scared to do it. Thank you for having the courage to do it. But do you see how when you think about your life that way, doesn't it bring some clarity? Like what struggle would your future self praise you for? It's an interesting thing to ask. And I want to ask too, as a church, can we think about that for a moment? What would future generations look at our church today and say, thank you for entering the struggle? Thank you for entering the struggle. Because here's what I believe. I believe God is calling us to be a church where we don't just think about today. We don't just think about ourselves, but we think about the future. We think about those people that we don't even know yet, like the Apostle Paul. We haven't seen face to face, but we make decisions that are hard, but that are going to bless them. I think that's the kind of church we need to be. Church, here's what I know. I believe our future selves would say, thank you for working towards building a new facility for us. Amen. They're going to thank our 5-year, 10-year-old self, they're going to say, thank you. The parking is so much better here. The kids' rooms are so much better. We have a place to hang out. Look, that's going to be an effort that is worth the struggle. Look, here's what a new building is. It's a tool. But I'm telling you, as a church, it's a really, really helpful tool. And yes, it's a struggle. We're struggling towards it. We're working towards it. It requires sacrifice. But church, I think we will be grateful that we went on that journey. Years from now, we will be like, it all was worth it to be here. I was just imagining in my mind, I was imagining that first Sunday, and I was just seeing it in my mind, seeing the worship team up here just killing it. I didn't really get past that because I was so just happy in that moment. I didn't get to my sermon because I didn't want it to go south, you know? But I was just imagining, just thinking about all the sacrifice, all the struggle that we've been through, all the struggle of just saying, man, how can we make it work? How can we keep serving God well where we're at? How can we think about it? And I was like, man, the sense of rejoicing will be so great. It's a struggle worth entering, because here's what the bigger struggle is. We've got to be a church that thinks about our community and how can we reach them for Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was thinking about. How can we reach this area, these areas for Christ? Because Christ is what we ultimately need. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the church made space for me when I didn't know him. And shouldn't we do that for others? I'm glad that there were people that I didn't even know them, but they were thinking about people like me, and they were saying, how can we as a church reach them for Christ? Imagine future generations coming up to you in heaven and saying, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your heart. I want you to know that you reached my great-great-great-grandfather. But do you know it completely changed the direction of our family for generation after generation? How cool would that be? What would that be worth to you? Those are priceless things, aren't they? And church, I want us to enter the right struggles today as a church. And I think we're doing that. We say our guiding mission as a church is to attract people to the excellence of Christ, invite them into the joy of ministry, challenge them with the adventure of faith, and help them to live the lifestyle of generosity. We say that's kind of what our aim and our heart is for. That, and to do all those things is a struggle. It means we're choosing the hard way, not the easy way. But it's worth it. What is it worth to see God break cycles in people's families by attracting them to the excellence of Jesus Christ? What is it worth to see people engage with their giftedness and their calling and serve God in ways that transform their life and add value to the world? What is it like to live a story as a church and as a people that only makes sense if God is real? That's what I'm after. How about you? I want my life to only make sense through the goodness and reality of God. I want our church, it's only going to make sense. We can only do what we're trying to do with God. We're not smart enough, good enough, any enough without him. We need him. But when people see that, it's powerful. Because they know, oh yeah, those knuckleheads, no chance. God must have been at work in this. That's the right struggle. And church, we have to work towards a future that will create the right kind of rejoicing and the right type of gratitude. Now, what is God challenging you with today? Now, here's the good news. You never do it alone. There's help in the right struggle. There's help in the right struggle. Paul says in the verse right before this, he says that that as he struggles in this, all the power of Christ is at work in him in the struggle. See, when you're in the right struggle, you need to know this, that you will experience new strength and power from Jesus Christ in the midst of it. As we enter the right struggle as a church, here's what we can expect. We will find deeper strength from God than we knew existed. We will find new gears that God will give us that we didn't know we had. And when we're living our life in the wrong struggle, or we're avoiding the challenges, here's what ends up happening. We ultimately end up just shortcutting ourselves and experiencing the grace and power and help of God in our lives. Whether we know it or not, we all need the right challenge. because we will find in it a new dependence on God that gives him glory. See, believe it or not, it's a good thing when I wake up in the morning and I know I can't do it without God. Church, believe it or not, that's a good thing to have that sense. Now, I know it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable to have that awareness of our limitations and of being facing challenges that are that much bigger than us. But church, I want you to know, that's where we're meant to be. That's how we're meant to live. That daily trust in the strength and wisdom and power of God, and to see that he has new gears for us. And in the right struggle, there are victories along the way that we need to celebrate. Paul says, I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in what God is doing in the midst of this struggle. Now, I think it's important to just take a moment, and I want you to think about the last 6 months of this year. And I want you to think about, what has God done for you that you can celebrate this morning? How has God met you? How has God showed up for you? How has God been faithful to you? It's easy to miss that. But through the struggle, we need to celebrate the small wins, the medium wins, and the big wins, because you need that fuel, you need that strength to keep going. And I just want you to take a moment and think in your mind, what are the wins God has brought to your life? And celebrate them. Church, God has blessed our church with some awesome wins this year that we need to celebrate. Man, God's been using our church in a special way this year. We had Sundays where we had one Sunday over 700 people in person, another over 6, several over 5. We've never done that before as a church. And that's God working through our church. And we need to celebrate it. And then there's people that tune in online and stuff, but I never know if they're real or if they're Russian bots. So actually, I said that first service and I saw a comment. Someone said, I'm real. I'm not a bot. So I know one is real. So that's good. But God's blessing us, church. He's using us. He's honoring his name. He's connecting people. And we need to celebrate that. Church, we're closing in on almost $700,000 raised towards our new facility. Amen. Yeah. Our goal is to raise about another $300,000 and sell this building and break ground. So be praying for that. If it's on your heart to help us get, let's get there as quick as we can. It will be worth it. It's the right struggle. God will bless us. We launched Thursday night, which we've been thinking about, offering another option. And other than this Thursday, it's gone well. I tortured people with my sermon, but I'll do better this coming Thursday. But it's been a blessing. It's cool. And I think we also have more to celebrate. Here's what was on my heart as I was thinking about this. God has been at work in some of you in a special way this year. And here's what I mean. Some of you, you crossed the line of faith in your heart. You trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You received him, his forgiveness. You've committed your life to him. And you've become a new person in your heart. And church, we need to celebrate that. And the scriptures tell us that the way we celebrate that is through baptism. That you need it celebrated, but we also need to see it and celebrate it with you. And this summer, every summer for the last several years, we do my favorite church service of the year at Lakeview Beach. I believe God intended for church to be on a beach. It's just really hard to make it happen, you know? But once a summer, we go to Lakeview and we do baptisms. And we celebrate God's work in people's lives. And some of you, God has done that work. Now here's what remains. We need to celebrate it. You need it celebrated, and that's what baptism is. It's saying to the world, it's saying, man, Christ has been at work in me. Christ has saved me. Christ has changed me. And I'm choosing to follow him all the days of my life. And it is something absolutely worth celebrating. And it's something that is so good for others to see that moment of celebration. So if that's where you're at, sign up for that. Sign up for baptism. And let's celebrate what God is doing in people's lives. Now, Paul says there is a blessing in this struggle. It's in these verses. He says, I'm praying in this struggle that it would lead you to the full assurance of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus Christ. Do you know what the best and the greatest blessing of the struggles in our lives are? It's finding a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's seeing him in a new way. It's seeing his trustworthiness in a deeper way. It's seeing his goodness in a more real way. It's seeing his wisdom with greater clarity. It's seeing his love for you more. And Paul says that the greatest blessing of the struggle is a deeper connection to Christ. And you know, today in your struggle, in my struggle, in our struggle as a church, that's what God has for us. That's what God has for you and me. And so I just want to leave you with this last encouragement. It's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says this, cast not away your confidence. That's what struggle does. It casts your confidence away. It casts your confidence away in God. Casts your confidence away in your understanding of him and your relation to him and all that. But Spurgeon says, cast not away your confidence. That's the hardest thing to do in struggle, is to not cast it away. He says, for it has great reward. And this is my favorite part. Even if the enemy's foot be on your neck. And in struggle, that's what it feels like sometimes. The enemy's foot is on my neck. If you can't get that picture in your mind, let's just say that's not a good place to be. That is not a hopeful place to be. He says, but even if you're in that place, expect to rise and overthrow him. Well, that's the last thing I would ever expect. But why? Why does he say that? Here's why. Because what you may not know is that, yes, you can be defeated easily. Yes, we are prone to fail. Yes, we fall short. Yes, we mess things up. Yes, that is all true. But here's what is also true, that Christ in you is greater than all of that. And that, yes, the enemy might be able to defeat you, but what he cannot do is defeat Christ in you. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, so face that struggle, knowing that it's not just you, but you are facing the challenge with Christ in you. And so guess what you can expect to happen? Even in the darkest and hardest moments, God will help you. God will meet you. God will provide for you, and he will not fail his sons and daughters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we could just experience your strength right now in this moment. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters, that all of us, we have our own battles that we're facing. We have our own struggles. Father, help us to make sure we're facing the right ones. And help us to not waste any of our energy on the wrong ones. But Father, even the right struggles are exhausting. They are demanding. They are taxing. And we lose our confidence and we lose a sense that they're worth it. Help us to see the rejoicing on the other side of it. Help us to enter them not in our own strength, but in yours. Not with our own endurance, but with yours. Not in our own wisdom, but through yours. And Father, help us to see the great sufficiency that is in you and that you give to us. Bless these good men and women. I pray, Lord, 6 months from now, we would say, man, I'm glad I didn't give up. I'm glad I took that step. I'm glad I carved out that time. I'm glad I kept taking one step forward, and it would all feel worth it. Bless us in this, in Jesus' name.